fire, flood and pestilence. And yet we're feeling pretty upbeat for what has been another potentially apocalyptic week. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, freelance journalist and author. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Glorious leader Joe Biden, may he reign 1,000 years, struck down with COVID this week. But it doesn't seem to have elicited much in the way of drama, Ed, given just about, you know, everyone has had COVID at this point, except me, it seems. What's been happening?
Well, you've got to get COVID, mate. You're not part of the team. I thought I got it. That's why you changed from Zoom. You thought you'd get COVID. Look, it is around, and most of us are going to have it more than once. But it's like, you know, a bad cold, at least in my case. And my wife didn't even get a cold. And many of the people in my office didn't get anything other than a little sore throat and were free the next day. So I think this is going to be around for the count. I hope Joe is doing well. It doesn't mean it won't come back for him. But interestingly enough, the polls may be down just in time for him. By that I mean, really, the election cycle doesn't start until the beginning of September, they say, but it's really the end of September. And things are swinging in his direction with respect to what's going on in the world and what's beginning to happen in the United States. So get well, Joe.
One we've only sort of touched on going on in the world is monkeypox. I mean, this one has been declared a global emergency, but in the wake of COVID-19, I mean, it seems like nobody really cares. Back in the days of SARS, swine flu, this one would have had people, I think, up in arms. But it seems this day and age, we're kind of inoculated against more than just coronavirus. What do you make of this one, Ed?
White people aren't getting it. It's not a white people's disease. And I hate to say that, but it's true. Most of the people who get it are black, or they get it from black people. It originated in Africa. And the numbers are small in the United States, and they could climb. But it hasn't. And remember, this is the kind of disease you have to have very close contact to get. And so most Americans aren't that near people from Africa or have African connections. Washington, D.C. and New York are the places where I think this disease will happen most, and maybe Los Angeles. But it is a serious disease, and let's hope we nip it in the bud.
Well, taking race out of it, I mean, at the moment, there's a lot of talk about it spreading through communities of gay men and the like. So I don't know. This wouldn't be the first time that America has, you know, dismissed a disease as a gay disease and had it come back to
bite. Yeah, well, these are part of the same tree, aren't they?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
You don't want to know about it.
Ukraine, and only 12 hours after a deal was signed to allow grain exports through the Ukrainian port of Odessa, said port was struck by Russian cruise missiles, which Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said proves Russia can't keep its promises. More death and destruction. CIA Director William Burns estimated last week some 15,000 Russian troops have been killed in the Ukraine conflict, and the number for Ukrainian troops, while nothing is official, is probably comparable or higher. Any updates, Ed?
No, but I think the thing here that we have to keep in mind is Russia cannot, and it's showing really clearly, they can't commit any troops because they don't have young men. This is hard to imagine a country the size of Russia, but I've been there recently, as you know, and there aren't very many young men around. So to put an army together is very difficult. Moreover, they have a severe alcohol and self-medication problem in the country. So you add those things together. The men who've been on the front have now been there almost, 9 months or so with no respite. So I don't know if they can continue. Now, the Iranians have their own country to fight for, and they're getting these magic weapons from the West that are enormously powerful. So I think the Ukrainians might get a second breath. If so, it'll break the back of the Russians, because they've got nothing more to throw at this war.
Meanwhile, in something of an end of an era when it comes to international cooperation, Russia has announced it will be withdrawing from the International Space Station at the end of 2024. The ISS first launched in 1998. It's been considerably used as a research facility in Earth orbit. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
No, I think this is a shame because it did provide a way of Russia and America working together. And as a piece of technology the Russians really did very well with and were able to, it's kind of like medium tech versus high tech. And the Russians seemed to be good in that sphere, and it gave them place in the world. But Russians climbing down the ladder of important places. I doubt if the U.S. will place it, because it sounds like to me that it's better to use these new missile systems that get into deep space than fool around in near space.
Some more earthbound troubles. After we were talking about a massive northern hemisphere heat wave last week, St. Louis has experienced a record-breaking downpour, heaviest rain in a century, killing at least one person and stranding others. Now, this is the kind of once-in-a-lifetime weather event that here in Australia we're beginning to feel like happens once a month. Any thoughts?
It's going to happen in the United States once a month. There's another set of wildfires that broke out in California after all the wildfires last year. And La Nina keeps staying away rather than coming on the coast. So if anyone thinks we are not in a climate emergency, they must be living on Mars.
On to politics and some potential good news for Joe Biden, at least in Congress. With Congress poised to pass a major bill to let Medicare negotiate drug prices, subsidies for superconductors, which would be a considerable boost for American industry without kind of simply pouring money into the old money pit. And then, of course, this is on the back of the bill to codify same-sex marriage. But on the other hand is the Senate, which has been considerably more contentious. And that same bill that I just mentioned there, that's coming up with no real indication as to what might be supported.
How's the latter bill, the one on the marriage bill. I think that'll get across the bar. The Republicans are discovering voting no is unelecting yourself. So the energy on issues like abortion, people who want a Roe versus Wade are simply more energetic. And you can see it in the numbers. The Democrats have raised $65 million since Roe versus Wade, and the Republicans, 14. So this is an issue that a Republican dare not vote against, because they might be voting themselves out.
I mean, a lot of this is obviously being looked at through the lens of midterms, and it's pretty standard political wisdom that the incumbent will lose out in the midterm elections, compounded by the fact Biden, was seen not capitalizing on early momentum. But where do you think Biden and Democrats are at the moment in terms of midterm support?
My view is the Republicans have given them a treasure trove of good material. People who are not electable in a normal season are, because of Trump, being put up all over the place. And these people now want to get away from Trump, and Trump is out campaigning for them, driving them further down the sinkhole. So Trump is the best thing the Democrats could have. Good Republicans, like the potential governor of Arizona, are being defeated by these people. And the same thing's true in Pennsylvania, who are election deniers. So what's happening is the Democrats are winning the Democratic votes and getting the middle of the road Republican votes and all the independent votes by this move to Looney Tunes. So things couldn't be better for the Democrats in an off-year election. And they don't need to capitalize on it. They just, it's kind of like when you're in a ball, football match or something like that, and the other team's making errors. You just want them to keep going. Sooner or later, the ball is going to bounce in your direction.
We'll circle back on Trump in a moment, but one thing that's been hurting Biden, of course, is cost of living, inflation. You know, we've mentioned a number of times how it's kind of hurting the hip pockets, and it's a most it's the most pressing issue for a lot of Americans. Biden said this week, God willing, I don't think we're going to see a recession. Ed, are we relying on divine intervention, or what's happening?
Has he been talking to Morrison? No, he doesn't know what's going to happen in that regard. But a little recession wouldn't hurt. And let me tell you why. The system is clogged up with an awful lot of bad businesses and bad debt. And it could be cleaned out by a recession and propped up with all this pandemic money. So there's a lot of bad stuff going on. And I would wish for some shrinkage in the economy in the right places. The United States was over-retailed, overfed, all in bad ways, and under-medicated. So there needs some corrections to go on. I'm not looking at this as all bad. I think inflation is going to cure itself when the Chinese come back to work.
And on January 6th, more and more is emerging on this one all the time, all of it damning, such as the public release this week of subpoenas for two Arizona state senators with the suggestion they may have offered to pose as electors to allegedly certify votes fraudulently for Trump. Look, I've said before, this whole thing seems to be taking a long time, but it does look more and more like that's because it is capturing so much evidence on so many different activities by so many people involved in the process. What's the latest, Ed?
Yeah, and that's true. And the American and the Australian judicial systems are very cautious systems. They don't plunge into anything. So this is go slow, and then there's going to be a sprint. Now, what Trump wants to do is run for public office in the hopes of slowing it down again. But I think what Garland's move is to get the indictments underway and the potential for trials and let those be hanging over Trump's head as an election begins to happen. And that will mean the money he needs will not be going in his direction, and that's already happening. Big money is pulling away from Trump. All three of the big conservative newspapers have pulled away from Trump. His TV channel is very reluctant to pop off now about supporting Trump and some of his idiocy because they're being sued by public entities for what they're saying and winning in court. So I think This tiger is losing his claws.
Again, circle back on that one in a moment. But, you know, as we look at this one, as you kind of say, Ed, Trump still appears to be trying to gear up for a run at the presidency in 2024, even if
he's trying to make money.
That's exactly my point.
It's all about making money.
He's trying to make money.
About the presidency.
He's trying to make money, and I think on the other side of that coin, he's trying to, attempting to avoid prosecution. Going to say, hey, I'm running for president.
That's the only reason they're trying to take me out. That's right.
That's
exactly right. But some good news. Pence has stepped up like a presidential candidate. Now, think about this. The other presidential candidate was the governor of Florida, Santos, who is a very unappealing looking and talking fellow. But Pence sounds like a governor or a president. And the good money, good Republican money is going behind him. If Pence runs for president, I think it's quite possible that he gets the Republican Party, not the Trump Party, but the Republican Party's nomination.
Well, in terms of keeping the party together and not splitting off into the Republican Party and the GOP. Mike Pence, you know, was recently, I can't remember which institution it was, but one of the institutions, he was making a speech kind of regarding some of his aspirations and some of the work he had done with the Trump administration, and was very careful to say that he and Trump had disagreed on some issues, but he was very proud of the work they've done. And he's got this still sense that the Trump was a fantastic president and did all these wonderful things.
In the past. It was all past tense.
In the past, absolutely. We've got other Republicans kind of saying that in the past tense that Trump was this great president and all this kind of thing. To me, it underscores this unwillingness, this unwillingness to fully engage with any criticism. They still need to keep the Trump voters. Now, in engaging with that, I think I just wanted to sort of take this quotation. There was a bit of a stir this week from a book that was released by journalist Mark Leibovich, Thank You for Your Servitude. And this quote kind of came out this week where he said in the book, a former Republican congressman had told him the plan to deal with Trump was we're just waiting for him to die. It's not the greatest plan I've ever heard, but it doesn't seem like they have much of any other way of kind of not upsetting him and upsetting his rather large voting base while trying to maintain the helm of the Republican Party as opposed to the Trump Party.
Yeah. I hear all that. And I think that's very accurate.
So any thoughts on what they can be doing? Assuming Trump, I mean, he's not in the best of health, but he still kicks around for the next few years.
I think that the approach has just been set off by Pence, and that is starting to run on some positive issues, some issues that are bread butter issues, inflation and so on. I don't think they want to run on climate change unless it's better approaches to climate change, because they're in the wilderness right now and they go farther into the wilderness. One thing they're trying to do is appeal to Latinos, and I am really all for that. The Democrats have lost their ways with the Latinos. The more Latinos that get in the Republican Party, the less white it's going to be, because the Latinos' natural constituents are the working class. And you cannot imagine the Democrats being happier than being in a fight with other working class people for working class issues. I think we may be seeing the demise of the Republican Party in two ways. The old slave mentality folks who, white males, are simply dying out. They have lost the suburbs, which was the kingpin. No one in the suburbs wants to be associated with the Hispanic unless it's their gardener. So I think we may have the emergence of another working class party and the GOP that is far to the right on some social issues, but maybe as far to the left on other issues. For example, on social issues like gay marriage and so forth, they'll be far to the right. But on social issues like Medicare, schools, and so forth, they will be very much for those things. So the new battle will be over how to get to a different place, not how to tear down the house.
And Ed, just before I let you go, the race for who will take over the reins of the United Kingdom prime ministership, or maybe the steering wheel of Britain as it kind of flounders like an ocean liner. Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak.
Titanic would be a nice metaphor.
Exactly. The two of them, Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, are neck and neck, according to the polls. What do you make of the latest?
I think the woman will win. And the reason for that is she's more presentable to the general public. She may not have been as experienced, but I think they need a little polish, a little clarity, and the like. And I think she's just a better public figure, and she doesn't have as much baggage. Sumac's been in the middle of the party. She's just been on the fringe.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss all the latest goings on in the United States and abroad. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.